I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and I have some company in the studio. My guests are Dale Worland, a name that's been a familiar one on our airwaves for many years. He founded and led the Dale Worland Singers for over 30 years and is currently the music director of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra Chorale and the Minnesota Beethoven Festival Chorale as well. Welcome, Dale.
It's good to be here.
And I also have Bert Panisol, no, but I said that wrong already. Panisol, right?
That's right.
That's the French. And Bert is the artistic director of the Madison Choral Project, among other responsibilities. And you're here because Dale is working with the Madison Choral Project, And you two have had a long relationship, and we'll explore that a little bit. But first, Dale, I wanted to ask you, you know, we play a lot of choral music on Wisconsin Public Radio. And starting from centuries and centuries ago, a lot of the British composers and many of the choral composers started as singers, as little boys. They started as choristers. Did you sing as a child?
Oh, we had a lot of singing. I grew up on a farm in Iowa, where near a little town called Badger, Iowa. And the cultural as well as religious center was the church. But we just happened to have a brilliant musician who landed in our little town of Badger, who was one of my first inspirations. But I went to a country school, one-room schoolhouse, and we sang every day, every single day. And families would sing, too, around the piano. It's a sort of a lost art, I think, today, which is rather sad. But I did grow up, even though we thought we were deprived in some ways, we had singing every day.
I think it's very healthy, and it really strengthens bonds within families.
Yes, there's nothing like it, really.
I have to agree.
It's such a personal expression, even unlike playing a trumpet or a piano, which is more detached. But singing is in you. It's in your body as well as your soul.
Absolutely. And it's such a personal expression. And I think
yes.
You can tell by your voice how things are going. It's like a psychological.
Barometer.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, from being a kid who sang a lot with a family, then how did you end up pursuing music as a career?
Well, I was, again, the inspiration of leaders around me that I was exposed to. I think a lot of it had to do with that inspiration, even though I probably questioned whether I had the stuff to be a professional musician. But I heard great choirs, and I started out probably being more inspired by bands, because each town in Iowa had a band, let alone church choirs, of course. But as I grew older, my interest leaned more and more towards choral music. And I'd heard the St. Olaf Choir, so I wanted to go to St. Olaf. I wanted to get in the St. Olaf Choir. That's all I cared about in life. And then one thing led to another. But it was very early on that I decided that there was nothing more important in the whole world than choral music, choral singing. And I thought everybody should do it.
Well, you're right. And you ended up going to St. Olaf, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
My undergraduate work. And it was a great mentoring place. But then I had other great inspirations in the professional world. Robert Shaw and you name them. Those names became friends and just reinforced my commitment to doing all I could to further the art of choral singing.
We've had such a wonderful long career, and you mentioned Robert Shaw, and I, as I was reading and getting ready for this, I noticed that the two of you are the only two American choral conductors that have been inducted into the American Classical Hall of Fame. Well,
you do research. That's great.
It was. I thought that was absolutely well deserved. Well, why don't we hear a little bit of music of what we're talking about? And well, first, let's talk about you're in Madison because you're working with Bert and his organization, which is the Madison Choral Project, and they're going to be doing a concert this weekend, right, Bert?
That's correct. Yes, we are so amazingly lucky to be here and have this put together and to have Dale Warland with us. It's such a thrill just sitting here listening to him talk about his background. I'm just in awe that this is happening and feel so lucky and fortunate. The concerts are this Friday evening and Sunday afternoon at First Congregational Church right here in Madison.
And is there a piece composed by Dale Warland on your program?
You know, this is thank you, Stephanie, so appropriate. I had to nudge Dale to let us do this piece. He was, but I am so happy that we're doing it. It's called Always Singing, and just listening to his description of his life growing up, I just thought it was so appropriate and so wonderful that we get to do that here this weekend.
And we don't have a recording, unfortunately, of Always Singing, but it sounds like it's just going to be the most wonderful piece to hear, an expression of how important singing is to you and to all of those you have worked with over the years, and what singing does for us, not just physically, but spiritually and psychologically and emotionally. It lifts us up in so many ways, and that particular piece expresses it.
Exactly. That, at least that was the intention.
Well, and you've got some other music on the program, and we're going to hear one of those next, and that is a traditional spiritual.
Right. This is by the really brilliant arranger in Minnesota, Carol Barnett, had a setting, A Deep River.
Let's hear that. And this is the Dale Warland Singers.
Thank you.
Deep River in an arrangement by Carol Barnett. And we heard that, heard it sung by the Daryl Worland Singers, conducted by Daryl Worland, who is right here in the studio with me. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and Daryl Worland is not only in the studio, he's here in Madison because he's going to be working with the Madison Choral Project in two performances this weekend, Friday and Sunday, and that is one of the pieces on the program. And I saw also that The Water Is Wide is another one of the spirituals on the program. That's another favorite. Oh, just beautiful, beautiful. Bert Pensinot is also here in the studio. He's the artistic director of that group. And one thing that you share, the two of you, is, Dale, you established a paid professional choir in the Daryl Worland Singers, and that maintained itself for many years, over 30 years.
About 30 years, yes.
And Bert, you've done the same thing here in Madison.
I'd hesitate to say I've done the same thing.
You're working on it.
We're starting down that path, and if we had even a fraction of that kind of success, I think we'd count ourselves very happy.
What is it about trying to have a paid professional choir that is so important?
Well, the object is to make music at the very highest level, and you have to assume that if somebody is done advanced work as a singer, as a musician, like a fiddle player or a percussionist in a major orchestra, that if you put together people at that level and pay them for their services, you're going to create choral music at a very high level. And that's really the goal. The unfortunate thing, fortunate and unfortunate, is that everyone supposedly can sing. So we sort of take it for granted that why should we pay anybody to sing? Well, that's one view. But if you really, truly want to make choral music at the highest level, then they deserve to be gratified with a little better living standard, with some sort of salary in order to achieve that high level.
Well, I have to agree. And as a choral singer myself, I used to sing with the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. I know how much time it takes to really be proficient, not only with the music, but to have your voice in good shape and always in good form. You know, there's a lot of muscles involved.
You just don't push buttons, you know, use your fingers on a key. It's in you, and so personal health and staying in both physical and psychological good shape is terribly important, and it's a difficult challenge.
Right. It does take time.
Very much.
And a big commitment. Right. Well, I admire what you're doing, Bert, and I wish you
a lot
of success. Dominic Argento is a composer who spent a lot of time in Minnesota, and you have worked with him quite a bit.
He's our composer laureate, a great man, a great teacher, and probably our most well-known, most respected universally as a composer of any of our. And we have a hotbed of composition in Minnesota as well as a hotbed of choral singing.
Well, you do, and part of what you're known for with your work with the Daryl Worland Singers, and now for that matter, is commissioning new works and being an advocate for new music. And you worked with him quite a bit, didn't you?
Yes, two of his major choral works we commissioned. I Hate and I Love, which has become an American classic, and more recently, for our 25th anniversary, we commissioned him to write Walden Pond. And one of the interesting things, I think most of us are so used to hearing settings of poetry. Walden Pond is prose. He took the text of Walden Pond and manipulated, not changed anything, but took text prose from it, not poetry, and set it. And it's just a glorious setting. It's for three cellos, and harp, which is a little unusual. But it's a masterpiece. And it also received a Grammy nomination because of its being so unique.
Mm. And what a topic, a wonderful subject matter, too, give voice to. Why don't we hear an excerpt from that one? I think it's called Walden Revisited is the last movement from Walden Pond. Here are the Dale Borland Singers.
I remember.
That was neat. What was that? Wow.
It ends with a whisper. I don't know if you heard that. It's very moving, especially for the singers. I think more so probably than the audience.
Oh, that was really neat. And the orchestration, boy, with the three cellos and harp, it was quite full.
It's amazing, the full. You hit on something very interesting, how full the sound is. If you were a cellist, you would say, "Oh, this is a pretty tough piece." It's very challenging for all the instrumentalists in that piece.
And for the singers, too, I would
for
think.
For the singers,
yes,
too.
some beautiful singing there. The Dale Warland singers. Dale Warland is here in the studio, and Bert Pansoneau, and they are together this week working on music for a concert coming up with a Madison Choral Project. And that's going to be a wonderful concert. It's Friday evening and Sunday afternoon, and it's quite a varied program, Bert, you've put together.
Well, Dale Warland put together the program, so he deserves all the credit.
Oh, I should say, yeah.
But yes, it's a wonderfully diverse program, and you're going to hear a lot of different sounds and styles, and it's been like grad school all over again, watching Dr. Warland work and seeing him bring the choir to the next level. So I'm really excited about it.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Dale, how you get such great results with singers. And you just touched on that a little bit, Bert. You know, I think you must put the bar kind of high, and the singers want to work that hard to get there. Is that part of it?
That's part of it. Yeah, there has to be a determination of will to do good as a singer. But it's a combination. First of all, you choose singers that are good musicians. I mean, they have good ears, can hear well, but they have reading skills too, because you need some of those technical things. But you also want to have, you sort of hit on it, singers that are committed. But then you, as a conductor, you have to establish certain expectations that people sing in tune, that they're very aware of phrasing, of balances, and so on. But then you, as a conductor, have to choose the right words and gestures. I'm a very strong believer in conducting technique. I think it makes a difference. Some people can get by with very poor, what I call technique, but invariably a choir will be much better if that conductor has the right kind of gestures that conjure up the best results.
Nice, clear direction.
I was going to say we do it with mirrors, but that didn't quite answer your question.
Well, so glad to have you here.
Lots of joy. Oh. I love radio.
Well, and you also said when you were touring with the Dale Warland Singers that you had more stops almost in Wisconsin than almost any other state. That was so nice to hear.
That's true. We were based in Twin Cities, of course. We gave a lot of concerts there. But we gave more concerts than any other state in Wisconsin. It's a choral-loving state, and Madison is a hotbed of those choral singers.
It is. Well, thank you so much for being here. We know you have a lot of fans in the state, and this weekend's programs looks like it's going to be wonderful. So
it is.
I know that you're going to have a lovely turnout for that. And we're going to have one more piece by the Dale Warland Singers. It's going to be by Franck Martin, an excerpt from his Mass. But we have a quiz question to get to, and we'll do that in just a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And here's one more taste of the Dale Warland Singers with his Sanctus from the Mass by Franck Martin.
Thank you.
the Sanctus from the Mass by Franck Martin, as sung by the Dale Warland Singers, Dale Warland conducting. You're listening to The Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and we have more music ahead in just a moment.